Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have not.
The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care. No, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget live, not so live. It was a little jazzy little intro right there, huh? You bunch of low life and son of a guns. How are you, low lifers? And if you're new to the program, as my grandma Duncan used to say, to the programs she watched. If you're new to the program, that's a song I wrote called Biloxi Blues. That is our intro music for low budget live, not so live. And sometimes we do it live. And it's actually just low budget live. 3 years ago, it started as low budget live. Yeah, almost 3 years. This August will be 3 years of this insanity. Me and Darian is fishing. We're talking about that this weekend. Almost 3 years. I was trying to figure that out on the last show, but it's been almost 3 years. And now we've got low lifers, and now we've got theme songs, and it's fun. And it's fun. Hope all of you are doing good out there. I am recording this early on a Monday morning because my guest today couldn't record when I normally do, and that's fine. That's fine. I like to be accommodating, and I like to have the conversations I want to have. So here we are, early Monday morning. So the upload, probably seeing this a little later than you normally would. So I can get her all sent out to the interwebs. But thank y'all for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. If you do watch on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button if you like what you see, or if you don't like it and you just want to be a subscribing hater. I'm fine with that too. We welcome everybody to the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill. We do. Everybody is welcome. So this is the last podcast you're going to hear or see before Father's Day. And I'm telling you right now that this is your friendly reminder for me that you better get your daddy something. Better get him something. And, you know, all daddies, they want that rod and reel. They want to, I shouldn't say all daddies, but, you know, get him something cool. Your daddy has put up with you forever. Get him something nice. Don't get him socks. Don't get him some tie. Get him something nice. Get him some crankbaits. Get him some chatterbait. Get him some jackhammer chatterbaits or something. No sponsor plug there, but, you know, get at me, Z-Man. Get at me. We'll talk about it on here. Get him some 6 cents crankbaits. Get him some rods and reels. Get him a Garmin Panoptics, some LiveScope. Get him something nice. Get your daddy something nice. Or just grill him a good meal. Hug his neck. Just whatever. Make sure you spend it with your daddy this coming Sunday. So the next podcast you hear will be after Father's Day. So you were warned. You were warned for all y'all that are like me and you forget holidays and special days. Father's Day, man. Don't forget it. It's coming up. Coming up. And I had me one of them proud daddy moments this weekend. So there's a tournament, a bass tournament in my hometown. Shouldn't say in my hometown. It's actually out of my hometown, but it's a small lake. It's a really crazy deal. And I don't even know how to describe this. So this lake is probably a mile long or so. I don't know the exact acreage. It's small. It's narrow. It winds through this big valley. And it's in a campground, essentially. Tons of people. And this tournament My brother has fished for a very long time, and a nice man puts it on. And they give away a lot of prizes and a lot of money. Guaranteed $1,000 first place. You know, there's not a lot of places you can go fish for that within 20 minutes of your house, you know, on a Saturday. Local tournaments, little fruit jars and things. I mean, that's a good little payday. Second place is like $800, third $600. So it pays good money. This tournament, this lake is idle only. So it's no way, and it, like I said, pretty dang small. I've never seen it until Saturday. Well, Hudson and I, my 12-year-old HLD, we decide to go jump in this thing. And it starts at first light, you know, and $10 entry fee, man. $10 entry fee. But this lake is so tough. So tough. A few years ago, my brother and his partner, Andrew, did weigh in a 10-pounder, 10-pound, 11-ounce largemouth, as a matter of fact. And you see some 8-pounders weighed in, and it's 5-pounder, 6-pounders every now and then. But full of bambinos this long. Matter of fact, tried to make a YouTube video, so many like tinies, micros caught, I didn't think it was anything anybody would want to watch. So I didn't even edit it. But that being said, if you catch a keeping fish 12 inches long, you win $100. Guaranteed. If you put one in the boat. So I'm like, how hard can that be, right? Well, let me tell you, 50 teams, Hudson and I, we caught one keeper at about 10 o'clock, only keeping fish we caught. Now, we caught 20, probably between 10 and like 11 and 3/4, of course. But matter of fact, our first stop, we caught like 5, and I thought, this is going to be easy. Not easy. There was never a time during the day that somebody wasn't throwing at your boat, talking to you. It was great. Everybody got along. No fights. Everybody's kind of in it together. It's really fun. But this is an entire tournament series, and I was so proud Hudson hung with it all day, because you're not running around. You're not going to check other spots when it gets hot. Like, you know, we covered the whole lake twice. My Force trolling motor is so fast that I'd just kick it up on high, and it runs almost 4 miles an hour. So I would just jet around everybody and go find a stretch where there wasn't anybody, which was hard to do. And instead of idling through everything, but you saw anything from, you know, bass boats like mine to aluminum boats to, there were even some kids out there, man, and little flat bottoms with trolling motors. Really cool. Really cool to see. It was kind of like where worlds collided, because there was a lot of, when you put that kind of money out there, there's a lot of guys that show up that are competitive, super competitive. And it only took 5 pounds to win. 5 fish, there's only one limit. 5 or 5 pounds. My brother ended up getting him a top 10, winning him some money with just 3 keepers. So shout out to Blake and his partner, Eric. They smashed them, 3 keepers. It was so hard. It was so hard. And the next one is in July, and I think Hudson and I are going to go back, because Hudson freaking won. We won us $100 for $10, so we were pumped. Right here at the house, didn't burn any gas. We're good. It's a fun day. And so Hudson got his first, quote, payday in a tournament. He was all jacked up about that. And then they have these door prizes. Hudson won a freaking brand new, man, lose reel that the tag on it was like $300. Crazy. And then a St. Croix rod. So he's like over the moon, man. He got him a rod and reel. You know, it's not dad stuff. He won that. So he's all jacked up. So I was so proud of him, though, man. He's right in the mix. He's loving tournaments. And it's really, he's starting to ask about like Bassmaster Junior tournament stuff. And it's exciting. It's exciting. But what was even more exciting for me was the fact that he wanted to wake up. We had to be there. They have a gate on this place. You have to be there at a certain time. It's super early. And because the tournament starts at first light, you have to get out there, get signed up, get put in. It's a little single lane boat. It's chaos. Ran really well, but chaos. And we had to wake up. I got up at like 3:30 in the morning, and I got Hudson up at like 3:45. And I can just tell you, that's early for anybody. Or late. In my music playing days, that was late. But early, why do we get up so damn early for fish? I don't know. I was thinking that driving to the lake. I was like, why do we do this? Rubbing my eyes, you know. Why do we do this? But then when the turn, when you get out there and it's all excitement, it's fun. Everybody's idling around. Everybody's talking crap. And it's fun. You remember why you do it. But 3:30 in the morning, whew, that's just crazy. It's about 20 minutes from the house. I need to be there by like 4:30. So by the time we hook a boat up, yada, yada. You know the drill. You guys know the drill. You fish tournaments, y'all know the drill. You get all keyed up. And, you know, when it's that early, the crazy thing is you go to grab your energy drink and grab some Startron. Guarantee it. Every single time. Every single time. I want to thank the fine folks at Starbright and Startron for bringing you and bringing me to the masses. Bringing y'all low budget live, not so live, for all these years now. Startron will kick ethanol right in the teeth. If you're using that lawnmower, you get that bad gas in it, it ain't going to run. You better drop you some Startron in there and kick that ethanol in the teeth, your weed eater, your chainsaw. A lot of that going on right now, especially out here at the Duncan House. There's a lot of that going on, a lot of grass cutting, a lot of weed eating. Got them boys on that weed eater, though. It's one thing I'm proud about being a daddy for is I can pass that fine tradition of holding that weed eater on. But Startron will take care of that. Starbright cleaning products, too. Been doing a lot of that around here. They got a mildew cleaner that is absolutely out of this world. What it'll do on boat seats. I know a lot of you, you know, out there, you might leave your boat in a slip, pontoon boat or something, your bass boat, and it'll get a little mildewed up, man. I promise you that mildew cleaner will take it right off. We've got a swimming pool out here, money pit, hate it, hate the swimming pool, triple threat loves it, I hate it. But anyways, there's a diving board on it. It was a little mildewed up after the winter. Little Starbright took care of it right there. So thanks to those folks for bringing you Low Budget Live. All right, let's get to the goods. Let's get to the goods. I'm going to text our guest for the day right now. Let's see. Oop. Wrong text. You know, one word makes a big difference. When you say I'll call in 10 versus I will call at 10, big difference. Big difference. All right. So let's get to it. Fishing World was busy, man. So busy, almost too busy, because it was like, that's why, for those of you that have been asking why Boats and Pros did not come out last week, I was like, I'm going to stay off of those tournaments, because there was so much going on, and, you know, those are the folks that, you know, you all watch Boats and Pros, and I'm sure you had time for it, but you got Major League Fishing down there in Florida, you got the Bassmaster you follow, you had all this live coverage. I was ADD, trying to consume as much of it as I could. Watch my buddies, watch my friends. And we didn't drop it. But this week, this Thursday, Boats and Pros. But it was so crazy watching all of this. And first up, that the Major League Fishing Tournament, which started like 2 weeks ago, I feel like, because they're so freaking long with all the rounds and all the things and blah, blah, blah. Because it started on the last podcast. I talked about it on the last podcast. So a week later, the tournament just wrapped up. But huge congrats to Jordan Lee, who is just freaking dumb at this point at what he wins. And, you know, I would just retire if I was that young and that amazing at it. I'd just be like, I'm going to go try to conquer something else. Dude is crazy. Out of this world. Absolutely out of this world. And there aren't many people like him in any sport, really. I mean, he's one of those rare cases that's just got it to his freaking toes, man. He's got it. And I have to say, you know, given my history with Major League Fishing, people like to say, you hate it. You always got to talk crap. The haters of this program, this fine program. I actually enjoyed this event. This was, it was crazy with the money on the line. I got to say, they really slapped some folks in the mouth about the mostly little fish stuff. To me, by putting such an emphasis on the big fish in this event, 25 grand for the first qualifying group A's and B's, all the groups. Brent Ayler won 25 grand for catching a giant, and I happened to be watching. I didn't get to watch a ton of it, but I happened to be watching when he caught that one. It was really cool. Begging. And then Mark Rose caught a 9-pounder on a spinning rod. He won 25 grand from his little group. And then on the third day, when Jordan Lee just took it to him to qualify for the Sunday round or the final day, Jordan had Big Bass for 50 grand up until the last little bit. And then Michael Neal, little buddy Michael from over there in Dayton, Tennessee, Michael wins it by 1 ounce. $50,000 by 1 ounce. Now, here's the deal with that. For me, this is the first thing I told my wife. It's like, did you see what happened? I was like, check this out. I'm like, Michael, because Michael's a friend. I used to travel with Michael some on the FLW Terror. Thank the world of Michael. And thank the world of a lot of those guys. But Jordan Lee is a good friend as well. But I was like, did you see? Because I just figured, hey, Jordan's got it locked up for Big Bass. Michael wins by freaking ounce. And here's my only thing with that. When it's the scales in the boat, this has been my concern. This is when Bassmaster did, you know, when they do the Texas Toyota Fest, all that stuff. I said this is where, and there's not any news about this, right? Like, this is just me, what my personal feeling would be, is you can't have a reweigh because it's just Michael and an official in the boat weighing the bass. And that's what the scales show, and that's what we write down, and that's what it is. And man, that's a lot of money to be given away. And I've said that from the beginning with any of these kind of tournaments, is way in the boat tournaments, because like, if Jordan's sitting over your shoulder and it pops up in your own stage and it pops up on the big screen, like, yeah, it is what it is. Or if something flops and trips, like, you know, a bass, hey, we're going to reweigh that or whatever. You could redo the scale. I don't know, but we've seen instances this year where these scales were not on. So I don't know. Congrats to Michael Neal on that. And man, I know Jordan was probably like, holy crap. Because if it's 3 or 4 ounces, you're like, whatever. 1 ounce, man. I don't know. I would be, that would make me want to throw up. But I'm just saying, those instances are pretty tight. On the scales. And, you know, like I said, just one freaking dude weighing them. So, and it's the same for everybody, but those are 50 different sets of scales or whatever. I don't know. I've been riding around in boats that I would not want to lose $50,000 that way. But, you know, fast forward to the next day, wasn't that big of a deal. Jordan won not only big fish, but won the tournament, won a cool 200 grand. So they paid $100,000 for big fish in that last round. And I think I see why they're not having any more tournaments really this year, because they gave away a lot of money in that one. And it's hard to have entry fee free tournaments for the rest of the year. That's why them boys is paying entry fees, because they gave away a lot of cash and you can't just do that. So pretty cool event. And another thing I'll say is Mark Rose, craziest fish catch ever, jumps in the water for one that's hung in the grass. And we've seen that several times this year, and I'm almost to the point, like, is that a requirement? Do we have to have a viral fish catch video? And I like it. Hey, man, it might get on SportsCenter. Might get you on ESPN2. Oh, that's right. Bass was on ESPN2 already. I don't know, man. I'm just afraid somebody's going to get hurt. I sound like my daddy, but my headphones is falling off. Falling down on my hat. I don't like that at all. But I just swear to where do we then we do we start elbowing gators? Like, gators got my frog. Bam. I mean, where does this go to try to get a viral clip? But Mark Rose just straight up just went in. And I've known Mark a while. It was very out of character. He said, bloop. He was in, stripped the microphone off, and went down there and got that sucker. And it was a 3-pound minimum, and it was a 3-pounder. So whatever. It was wild. It was the wildest thing I've ever watched. So they got their wish there. He got his wish. And I don't know that Mark, I don't think he was calculating. I think he thought it was a really big fish, but everybody got to have that viral clip now. But it was certainly something, man. If y'all haven't seen it, he just said, choop, and his boat official or whatever is like 10, 9, 8. It's counting down like how much time's left in the period or whatever. It was really funny to me. But how long until somebody gets hung up in some hydrilla and it turns into a whole nother thing? I don't know. So there you go. Congratulations, Jordan Lee. Now, the Bassmasters were down on Eufaula in a slugfest. They smashed, of course. I think everybody in the world saw that one coming. But they definitely smashed. And it was so cool to see it on ESPN2. It was so easy. It was so easy. And I found myself drifting to the couch a little too much when it was on there. But all the guys on there did a really great job, from Zona and Ronnie and Such and Tommy and Davey to the anglers like Chris Saldane and Matt Airy and all the guys. All the guys did a great job. But I felt like Zaldane and Polinick, to me, and Airy, it jumped out at me. They really explained our sport, and the commentators did as well. Like, they were talking to two different audiences, and I thought that was very cool. I thought that was very cool because I wondered how they would approach that, because if I'm just clicking around and I don't know, and there's all these guys wearing these fancy shirts and driving these big boats, I don't know what's going on. And they really did a great job of breaking it down for the fishing fan that knows what the heck a flutter spoon is and why in the heck you're sitting in the middle of the lake, and then breaking it down for the common viewer that just happened upon it. So hopefully they turned some fans. I saw some funny tweets about it. Some people like, oh, wow, bass fishing on ESPN. You know, people don't know. They don't know, and that's fine. But maybe they got some fans out of it. I sure hope so. Some new fans. I think it was cool. But congrats to Buddy Gross, who we're going to talk to. Scott Canterbury, I called it right here, had a great tournament. I really thought Scott would win. And Brandon Cobb, so many guys had a good tournament. Matt Airy, just Drew Benton, Drew Cook. Lots of fun to watch there, though, and it was a good event. It was a really good event. A lot of big ones weighed in, and Eufaula's just back, and that's so good to see because it's a heralded bass lake in our little world. And I've been there many times, and it sucked. It's terrible, and now it's coming back around. It's good to see. It's good to see these lakes. You know, they do all kind of ebb and flow, and it's good to see it back on a high spot. But ESPN2 for me was special. It was special. It was cool. And I'm not a big TV guy. I like watching the live streaming online, and I'm totally fine with that. But it was really cool. It was really cool to have it on there. The one thing I will say that frustrated me, not with Bass, but with ESPN, is following our coverage every day at the end. I say our sport, the Bassmaster coverage on ESPN2 Live, Cornhole Championships. Cornhole. I thought we were like bigger than King Kong, you know, in the sport. We're on ESPN2 Live. What? Live bass fishing coverage on ESPN2. The deuce. Cornhole. Cornhole. The drunk game you play with your buddies throwing cornhole. Come on, ESPN. Back it up with the Michael Jordan documentary, Something for the Love of God. Cornhole. God, made us look silly. Made me feel dirty. Cornhole. And I like cornhole. No offense to you cornholers out there, you know? If you're watching this, don't call my boss. I'm sorry if I offended you. You cornhole, you know, playing ton of guns. I enjoy your fine sport, but you can't compare the sport of professional bass fishing to cornhole in any way, because I doubt that anybody's ever won $500,000 playing cornhole. You probably get like a bucket of beers and a pat on the back. I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe they give away like $200,000. I apologize to the cornhole crowd out there because I didn't watch. I turned it off. I was so disappointed. I turned it off. Turned it slap off. So you gotta take the good with the bad, I guess. And I felt like, you know, being followed up by cornhole kind of sucked. But big shout out to all you cornhole players out there. Hope you had a good weekend too while we were out there trying to catch bass to win $100,000. I'm gonna get blasted in the comments. People are gonna be like, it's cornhole is life. I doubt it, but it'd be funny if I have a cornhole hater association that just starts commenting on Low Budget Live. I'm going to be really excited about that. All right, so I'm going to try to get our guest on the phone. His name is Buddy Gross. He has over 600 $1,000 in career earnings in a very short period of time. And the reason I know it's a very short period of time is he and I started at the exact same time professionally in 2016. And that was not that long ago. And my man has absolutely kicked teeth in. He is the real deal. The real deal. Our rookie year, call it, on the FLW Tour, he had a win. He had another win on the FLW Tour last year. He has won at every single level within that organization, BFL, Toyota, Costa, Everstart Series, whatever you want to call it. And then at the tour level twice. And now he is fishing his rookie year on the Bassmaster Elite Series. And here we go again. He's won the second event they've been able to have this year. He finished 11th in the first one down at the St. John's River. He is on a roll. He is Buddy Gross. He is a great guy, and we are going to try.
There's just one.
Oh, it's got a song. Yeah. I hope this is approved. We're going to get demonetized. I don't know what's going on right now. We're going to get demonetized. Buddy, copyright violations. He's not answering. Buddy Gross is not answering the phone.
This is Buddy. Sorry.
We're going to leave him a message.
If you would, leave your name and number, and I'll get back with you as soon as possible. Thank you.
At the tone, please record your
message.
This
is great.
When you finish recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, buddy. It's Luke Duncan of Low Budget Live. We're leaving you a message to congratulate you on your victory. I like you follow, and we want to interview you, so call us back. you can't make it up. Sometimes you can't make it up. All right, we're going to I hope that song, dude, YouTube's weird with music. YouTube's weird with music. We're going to get thrown right off of YouTube because of Buddy's ringtone. I was trying to cut it back there. That scared me to death. I was like, what am I playing? I've never heard that song before. So, Buddy Gross, ladies and gentlemen. I gave him a great intro. And now he stood us up. We talked last night. His hometown had a celebration for him last night. And he may have celebrated too much. I don't know. But his hometown, it was really cool. We were texting, and he said they were having him a little shindig yesterday, and they did. They lined the streets. It was really cool to see. He lives in a small community over around Chickamauga, Lake Chickamauga, and really a bass fishing world over there. And Buddy got celebrated last night, and that's good, man. That dude is he's gonna be strong in the Angler of the Year situation. I mean, of course, obviously goes without saying right now, but I think down the stretch you've got. He's a big fish dude. You got Lake Fork in there. He'll catch them there in the fall, I believe. But, of course, going down the stretch, you got Chickamauga. Here he is right here, ladies and gentlemen. Buddy Gross is on the phone, ladies and gentlemen.
Uh-oh.
What's up, buddy?
See, I thought it was a few minutes later than or earlier than it is, and I was actually on the mower, and I missed your call. I apologize.
I was talking about cutting grass earlier. That's all. Like, okay, ladies and gentlemen, y'all need to understand this. Bass fishermen aren't celebrities. They're like, Buddy Gross won a cool $100,000. He's cutting grass on Monday morning. He won it 2 days ago, and his wife's already got him on the mower. So don't think you get out of it just because you're an Elite Series pro.
No, absolutely not. She's cracking the whip around here, son. We come home to a hay field.
Well, I'm going to tell my kids, listen, you don't have an excuse not to cut grass because Buddy Gross just won one of the biggest tournaments in fishing, and he's cutting his grass 2 days later. So he ain't fishing. He ain't laid up on the couch. He's cutting grass. Well,
no, there's no rest for the weary. No, sir.
I like it, though. I would expect nothing less out of you than to be cutting grass because you're a good guy and you love your family and you're gonna do that. Now, I would ask how you're doing. But other than the grass cutting, I'd say you're doing pretty daggum good.
I tell you, if I could lose me 30 pounds and be in a little better shape for all these young men I'm having fish against, I'd be better off.
Y'all got you a crowd of youngins over there on the Elite Series right now. I will say that. I know how that is. I'm 37, but I can tell you right now I'm about 30 pounds over where I want to be. And Them old hot summer days are a little different.
They are a lot different.
On the water.
It was a great tournament. There's a bunch of good sticks over our son. You just don't ever know what you're going to get dealt with them guys.
No, listen, the weights, absolutely, especially the first day, but all week were crazy. But the first day I was like, oh, boy. Because just compared to, you think about that Toyota the week before, which was basically a local tournament, 90-boat local tournament. You look at it, a lot of the best locals on the lake, and you look at what happened in the elite deal the first day, you're like, holy crap. I mean, and they caught them in the Toyota. But, man, to see what those boys bring it, and you're talking about no information rule, you know, just show up and fish, you know, 3 days of practice, that's impressive to me.
It was very impressive because whenever we were talking, everybody was sitting around, you know, before the tournament started. What's it going to take to get paid? I was like 13 pounds a day. Boy, I missed that one.
Oh, boy. I'm glad you were on the other end of that because I've been on the receiving end of thinking that it wasn't going to take as much, and it's not as much fun.
No, it's not.
It's not at all when you go, oh, heck, man, 11 a day will get it, and it's like 16 pounds a day when you're somewhere. We were at the Potomac River on tour the last time we went there, and I'll never forget being in the meeting, and practice was terrible for me there, terrible. And I was rooming with Wesley, and Wesley goes, dude, it just ain't going to take much. We'd been talking, and David Dudley walked up to me at the meeting, and he's like, well, Bubba, are you catching them? And I'm like, not at all, really. I think this place sucks. He goes, oh, this is better than it's ever been. He goes, it's going to take 15 a day to get paid. And I said, you're out of your freaking mind. And it took 15 a day to get paid. They crushed them. Absolutely.
You just never know. If you miss it, you miss it.
That's right. So talk a little bit about your practice there. Did you – because you're a – dude, you're great on your hummingbirds. You're freaking – I mean, that's – I knew that about you before you ever made a cast at a professional level, just through knowing you through Michael Neal and people, just how much time you've spent with those electronics. Was this a practice for you where you were 1,000% committed, you just rode around and looked for them, or did you try some of that shallow grass that we saw kind of play out a little bit too? Talk about that a little bit.
I was pretty much committed when I went to fish offshore. I didn't know exactly which way it was going to be. I had went down, that was my first tournament there. I went down a couple of times to look at it, and both times I went, it was high, muddy, running, wind blowing 100. But I had been fortunate enough to mark a couple hundred brush piles, so I started running brush the first morning right off the bat. And on purpose, you know, usually if you're going to fish offshore, you don't have to do a whole lot of fishing, but I needed to see what kind of quality was there, and I caught a couple over four in a short time, and I said, that's it. So I put the rods up and started idling and found more brush, but I really wanted to find a school of fish.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit embarrassed because I didn't find what these other guys found. So I think I was looking too far, maybe the in-between stuff, the 15 to 18 feet, was not where they were, and that's where I figured they were going to be. I think they were still in the creeks, and I think they were further out, the ones that were on the river.
Huh.
So I completely missed them. I did find a little deal in practice, a little bitty hump, and it was deep. It was like on top of it was 21 feet. And the first cast I made was a 7-pound stripe, or hybrid, I guess is what it was. And I thought, dude, that ain't all hybrids. I mean, I've looked at them enough to know it wasn't all hybrids. And I went back one day during the tournament, set the hook on one, and it was a giant. And when I lost that fish, the whole school disappeared. It was a largemouth, but it
Holy
was a good
cow.
One. And I don't know, they just kind of disappeared on me. I went back the third day, and there was a wad of them there, and I couldn't get them to fire. And when I couldn't get them to fire, I just quit. I never went back. I just stayed in the brush and said, heck with it. I'm going to have to do what got me to the third day, and I just kept running new brush every morning and hoping to find another special one. But I probably had five that were produced all week for me.
Five brush piles were – specific brush piles were the ones that produced most of your weight?
It would produce multiple fish during the tournament, and then every day I would find one new one that would get me a quality fish off of it.
Unbelievable.
It was – but there was like five of them that I would make sure and hit multiple times during the day every day. And the rest of the time I was running new brush every day.
That's amazing to me because I have brush pile fished a lot, and I know when you go to Eufaula, that's like it's the same. It's people saying, "Hey man, go fish brush on Eufaula." It's the same as if somebody asks you, "Hey buddy, I'm coming to Gunnersville," and you say, "Oh man, they're gonna be in the grass." because there's a lot of brush down there. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's amazing to me that just that's a testament to how good you are with your electronics. And was that a depth range thing for you when you're like, okay, brush X amount right here deep, or is that the type brush pile as far as like new versus old? Talk a little bit about that without, you don't have to give away all the secrets on Low Budget Live, but talk a little bit about what made those special, because there are a lot of guys fishing brush that probably weighed in 11 pounds a day. You know what I mean?
Well, I do. And I did figure out pretty quickly. I noticed it a little bit in pre-practice that there was different kinds of brush. Mm-hmm. So you had to figure, and that sounds crazy, but there was cedar tree sunk, there was hardwood sunk, there was pots with cane in them, and there was something, I still don't know what it is, but I did notice that anything that was new, and I think, truthfully, I really believe that the series being there before we got there, those locals, just like you said, had took and went out and put fresh brush out.
Ah.
So their leftover fresh brush, I probably found, you know, 15 piles of that fresh stuff.
That was huge.
That was huge. And so that fresh stuff was producing multiples. That's I had one brush pile, or actually two brush piles, I probably caught 10 a day off of sometimes.
That's crazy.
So finding out that the thicker ones was the new ones, they all had fish on them. And I'm not going to tell you they were all giants, but they all had fish. And then the ones that were pots, and I think was a lot of that cane that was in it, those didn't seem to produce for me at all. So huh. I eliminated them. If I didn't went back and did it again, I would know what kind of brush I was going to at every one, but I didn't do that. So I knew I had found 15 good cedar piles, but I didn't know where they was out of the 500 that I had to fish.
Dang.
So I had to kind of wade through them. But it's another lesson learned, because I've always fished brush at home a little bit, but it's always been hardwood brush. So I knew what it was. And again, it was, if I go back, I'm going to mark them differently when I figure out what they are.
And see, that's next level stuff to me versus, because I mean, a lot of people sink brush, but like you're saying, you're dialed on that. And once you found them, because I fished a tournament on Saturday on a lake that didn't have any service, a little small lake with my 12-year-old. So we didn't get to see, and I get back into the land of the living here, and my phone starts blowing up. My dad's like, buddy, caught almost 28 pounds. My dad had been texting me all day. He's like, it's been awesome. I've been watching this. He's wrecked them. He's cracking these boys' heads. And he's all fired up. And was it a bait thing, though? Because I understand you're throwing a jig some, but did you have to change your bait rotation up, or was it something that you caught a lot of them on a jig? Talk about that, too, because when you're fishing the same pile, did you like to show them something different?
It didn't matter if you found them in it, but I did throw a swim bait for the first day, and I switched it up with a worm. I was throwing a 10-inch worm and a Magnum Trick Worm, an old monster and a Magnum Trick Worm. And what happened, honest to goodness, I don't know why or how, but I made a cast of that old monster and it broke. And I think I found out during the tournament I had a bad guide. But anyway, long story short, that worm broke off. So I picked up a jig and threw it. And when I threw that jig, bite. I threw it again, bite. I threw it again. I mean, like, it was like 10 bites to one.
Jeez.
On that jig. So I was like, golly, bum, I've got to go that route. And once it started biting it, sorry, thank you. My neighbor's hollering at me.
That's okay. I love it.
But anyway, it was just one of them deals. Once I figured out that they wanted it that much. And again, there's a lot of shellcracker beds around some of these brush, and then some of these shellcracker beds started having shellcrackers show up, so it's kind of a no-brainer. Just throw a green pumpkin jig to kind of match the hatchets around them. So.
Yeah, I heard Zona talk about that on day three. I got to watch a little bit on ESPN, and he was talking about the brim beds around the brush. Now, obviously, you can see those on side imaging, right? And would that,
yes, sir,
would that kind of perk you up a little bit, too, if you saw the mix? Like, that was kind of the deal?
It was. And then kind of I had done that. Now, I had marked them a special mark because every time I seen the shellcracker beds around them, I knew that if the shellcracker showed up, it would make a difference. So I did have all those marks. So once I figured that part out, I run a lot of them. But not all of them were starting to do their deal. It seemed like it was the ones that was closer to the bank.
Huh.
Had a shellcracker coming to them, so
that's,
there's. I mean, I think some. I think everybody down there is part beaver. I mean, they is so much brush. <All right.
laughs> Well, I remember but I fished an FLW there as a co-angler that was ended up being a brush tournament. And I remember I was staying with Wesley, and I remember all the guys. This was when the rule got changed that you couldn't be out after dark, because Jacob Wheeler and Adrian Avena and several more, they were idling all night, truly, to find brush, you know. And there's more brush piles than the guy drew the first day. There's more brush piles in that place anywhere I've ever seen in my life, man. That's why I'm trying to convey to people is you don't understand, like Buddy's like, I'm catching them in brush. This lake bottom is littered with brush. There's more brush on this place than anywhere you'll ever go.
I'll tell you something funny. This is the honest truth. I'm lying down. I was idling to my best, what I thought was my best brush pile. I'd stopped a little bit wide because I was trying to sneak up on some of these good ones that were getting a lot of pressure. I stayed. Of course, my 360 was key. I could actually make one cast and hit it every time.
Oh,
I knew how far I was staying. I was staying 80 feet away from the ones that I knew were going to be pressured. Just trying to keep those fish from not thinking I was there. But I was idling to it, and I see a little bitty one to the left. I was like, dang, I didn't know that thing was there. And I mean, it was like in between me and the one. So I just spun around. My first cast I made on it was a 5-pounder. I mean,
that's so awesome.
I mean, there's so much brush down there, dude. I mean, like, everybody in the tournament can be fishing brush, and I don't think we'd ever hit the same one if we didn't.
No, there's so much of it down there. It was a cool tournament to see. Now, talk about, because you just about didn't have an opportunity to catch 28 pounds last day, and I definitely want to talk about that just because you and I have known Shane for a long time. He's a great guy, and he made a simple mistake, but Shane LeHue brings in 6 fish. He ends up finishing 11th, but you were in that 11th place spot. Y'all flip-flopped, and you make the cut and come from behind, biggest stringer of the week, biggest stringer in 2 weeks, I'll say, because of the Toyota down there the week before. We all got to watch that too. 28, but talk about the range of emotions of, man, I'm barely missing a cut, too. Then on Saturday, holding the trophy. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, after my first day's performance, I was like, man, I'm just glad to be this close.
But no doubt.
I was happy with that. Which, don't get me wrong. I'm a gamer. I wanted to go, but I was happy with 11th, but I was so proud to get the first because of that mistake. But if I hadn't have made some critical errors, and I didn't talk about this a whole lot, on the first day, I should have had a 26, 7, 8-pound bag of first day.
Unbelievable.
I had decided, because I'm not in shape and I'm not a fast mover like these smaller guys, I was going to leave my life jacket on and just get up and down, plug it up, and leave the kill switch hooked to me. Boy, that was a mistake. Oh, I reeled it up. I reeled my lanyard up in my reel on a 7-pounder, and it was jumping out there in front of me, and I'm locked up. Like, I can't even let that rod go. It's attached to me at this point.
Oh, gosh.
So I just I tried to muscle through it, and that was a mistake. I just made it worse. So I just let the fish swim while I swear it took 2 minutes to get it all undone.
Unbelievable, man.
I got it all undone, reel up a slack, and the fish is still on there. So I get it all the slack reeled up, and I swear it is 5 feet from the boat when I get all the slack reeled up, and I pick up on a rod so I can get it up so I can grab it. And then the drag had backed all the way off, and that son of a gun took off again, jumps, and gets off.
Oh, that makes my heart hurt.
And it would have called a 2-pound, like a 230 on the first day. I mean, I was like, oh, yeah.
Well, so that I was talking to my buddy Darian about this in particular, because you had a 16-pound first day. And I said, dude, if Buddy catches 18 or 20, I said, he just blows it out. You know, yeah. I mean, it's crazy how at this level of competition – how consistent guys are at catching great stringers of fish, because I'm looking at it right now. 84.8 for 4 days, what you have. 83.9 Canny Bear. 82.4 Drew Benton. 79, 78, 77. That's a lot of freaking bass, man.
That's a lot of bass.
That's a lot of bass. And 4 days, Chris Aldane finishes 10th with 70 pounds for 4 days. That's a lot of dang bass, man. So you got to be on your game. And you stub your toe a little bit. Like, 16-pound stringer is a good stringer most places you go. And you stub your toe just a little bit and then make up for it with 27-11. That's just – it's so awesome to see. And I've known you for a long time now, and we've seen you won at every level of FLW, from the BFLs to the tour. And now over here at Bass, I mean, dude, it's just awesome. Over 600 grand in winnings in just 4 years. I mean, what's next on your goal list? I mean, you got to be kind of eyeing that AOY a little bit, I'm guessing, this year.
Oh, Lord, I don't even try to think about that part. I want to make the Classic. That's the goal, and just try to continue to fish strong. And what this does allow me, though, with the wind, it gives me a little more opportunity to try to go see some of this stuff before it goes off limits. You know, that's what nobody understands, how expensive it is to travel, and especially now that the corona's around. It's not easy to find houses. People don't want to rent houses, and it's – but anyway, it's going to allow me to be able to do a little more – concentrating on trying to get to the end result, and that is the Classic for me. So you know, over at FLW it took me a couple years to figure out how to be consistent. I could catch them and win one every now and then, but I didn't know how to get the points.
I was gonna say that you're a big fish guy, a big stringer guy, I would say, and I think that has to be from Chickamauga and Gunnersville. I mean, it takes a lot of weight in one day and 2 day deals on the Tennessee River all the time, and when it's a slugfest, like, my money's on Buddy. Always. Like, I mean, truly, like, if you know it's going to take a lot of weight, like, you're going to be around. You figure out how to catch great big ones. But I will say, like, our rookie year, you had a rough year. And then you smack one at Pickwick. You find some big ones and you win. And that's kind of that it did. It took you a couple years. But then we started all talking, like, then you got consistent. and then it got even scarier. It was like, oh, he figured out how to catch them everywhere. And I think, man, it's – dude, your career is just bright and shining, man, for sure.
I do appreciate that. One of the highlights of my career, though, if you want to know the honest truth, was like a 18th, 19th, 20th, somewhere. I finished top 20 at 09 of last year, and that, because I could never finish high up north. So once I figured out a few smallmouth, man, I was like, oh, this is pretty good here.
You're like, all right, I can do this. So talk a little bit about you left FLW this year. All the craziness happened. We all know, don't even need to talk about, but they got bought out and different things, and you qualified. But I've heard you mention the Classic. It's one of your main reasons that you wanted to go to Bass, the Classic, I'm guessing, like most fishermen. I mean, it's the biggest tournament in the world.
Absolutely. I mean, it was never – the Opens, as you know, I just wanted to fish. I don't have a job when I come home. I'm not wealthy. I have to work. I mean, and I was fishing everything I could to try to make a living. If I'm going to fish, I mean, I'm all in, is what I'm trying to say. So
yes.
I jumped in the Opens just to have a way to make some more money. And it's not the Opens and stuff isn't great unless you're finishing high. And then whenever I started, you know, having some good finishes and I seen that I could actually maybe qualify, and rumors going around about FLW, then I got serious about it. And I truly mean this. The Lord just kept opening doors, and I was blessed. It was nothing that I really did planning. It just happened.
It's awesome. I was proud for you. I remember texting you and telling you congrats. And I mean, I knew – I just feel like their schedule suits you really well. And now, of course, the schedule's changed, but I think, you know – you hang with it up north, and we get back to a little place called Chickamauga again a little later this year, and a little different Chickamauga than what most people are going to expect, I think, don't you?
I do. It's gonna fish really good, and at a time that if we have a dry summer, everybody's going to love the lake. If we don't, and we got to start chasing bait on them bars in the fall, it's going to be tough. It'll be a whole lot less weight than what everybody expects.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people think Chickamauga 30-pound stringers, but in the fall sometimes that ain't the case.
Yeah, you'd be happy to see a 16-pound bag.
So that's right.
They get real elusive that time of year, but it's just because the baits are tight, wadded up, and creeks and all this stuff, and they just move around where places that we're just not looking. And they get hard to catch.
They've seen a lot of baits by October.
Not to mention they've been beat on.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much has the fishing pressure increased there in the last, just say, 2 years, do you think? I mean, is it double what it used to be or triple?
Yeah. Dude, you can't even find a parking place anymore. On a weekday, it's like nobody works them. Of course, with this all, everybody being off, it's really got a lot of pressure. I mean, they were making it to where somebody had to leave where you could park at a lot of the boat ramps. I mean, it was bad.
Unbelievable, man. Well, I can tell you on Pickwick, you know, and Wilson Wheeler right here close to home, it's the same way. And I think that fishing pressure has affected our fish for the first time because all our lakes get pounded. They do. They get pounded. But our tournament weights are down. And I think that because that coast, it should have taken a lot more weight. You know, like I know, that time of year, they were just getting out there. You know, and there were some great stringers. You weighed in a great stringer. But still, we've not seen these big bags that we normally see. And I think it's got to have a lot to do with the fishing pressure.
It does. It surely does. I mean, it's one of those deals where we're going to just have to – I traveled with one of the best guys I ever seen about fishing pressure, and that was Thrift, and he figured out how to do it under pressure. And I was actually fortunate enough to get to see that for a year. So my bait selections have changed drastically, and my boat weight has gone up because after you travel with Thrift, you feel like you got to have everything.
Listen, I interviewed him on here this year, and that man told me because he doesn't need live wells on Major League Fishing, he's plugged them, and he keeps tackling his damn live wells.
That is a fact. He is.
God, he's crazy.
He is crazy. And the guy knows all the bait. I mean, if you can't – I can't find a bait that he don't know about
I'll
what it does.
I promise you, he is – Man, people can say what they want to about any angler, but that guy, he does from plastics to crankbaits to spinner. He knows what everything does, what part of the country they catch them on. I mean, he's incredible with that stuff, dude. Incredible with that. That's so funny to me.
And I can break out a bait. I was like, I bet you ain't seen this one, and he had 15 of them. I mean, it was awful. I couldn't trick him hardly at all.
Dude, Russell Cecil was telling me a story last year at Champlain that he got out some old spook, and like Brian, basically like Spider-Man, jumped over three boats to get to it and said, hey, what do you want for that? And he goes, what? Russell said he was like digging through baits and goes, I need that. I want that. And Russell wouldn't tell me exactly what. And he said, they don't make that one anymore. I need that one. What I'll give you like $500 for it right now. Russell goes, Brian, I'll give it to you. I don't ever use it. He goes, no, you don't understand what you got. It's like kryptonite with Superman or something, man. He said he had a fit over it. I love those stories.
I don't know what it was because he broke it. He broke one of them on his daggum power pole at Cherokee.
Oh, no.
I bet you that's what it was. I know, I ain't going to say about on the bus.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It was pretty funny.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, Cecil said he was just freaking out. And then he let him borrow it, and he caught some on it. And he goes, no, seriously, what do you want for it, man? That's awesome, man. Well, dude, look, I really appreciate you giving me some time. I've seen everybody on the podcast circuit's got you booked up this week, and you're going to do a lot of interviews, as rightfully so, as you should be doing. And, dude, I hope it just keeps getting better for you. I've always thought a lot of you, and I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna get personal for 2 seconds here on the podcast because I got to. Everybody on this podcast, I talk about my mama. You were one of the guys when my mama was sick and was going through everything she was going through. That if I saw you anywhere or what, you and your family would always check on my mama and ask about my mama. And I just want to say publicly how much I appreciate that, man, because it always meant something. Because you and I, we've always been friends, been buddies, but we don't talk a lot. And that meant a lot, man. That meant a whole bunch to me always. So I just want to say I appreciate that very much so. And you got a good crew down there.
Well, thank you. And we've been through it. I lost my dad, and you don't realize how much you need people asking about it till you've gone through it,
I can tell you that for a fact. It means more than people ever realize, man, for sure. Just to know that people have lived the same thing you're living, because it ain't easy.
But the people who hadn't lived it don't really know they need to ask. I mean,
that's exactly right. That's a great point. A great point, man. But I just want to say thank you, dude, and I wish you all the best of luck this year, and hopefully you'll win so many tournaments you ain't got to cut your own grass anymore. That's always the goal, I guess, but sometimes I like cutting the grass.
We made the mistake, though, and built in the middle of a hayfield, so all I got is grass. I don't have trees like I were. My dream house was to be in the middle of a bunch of trees where you couldn't see it from the road, and I built in the middle of a field where you can see everything.
Well, you're just going to have to win more tournaments and find you a lot with some trees then. Start all over. That way you ain't got a daggum mow anymore, because I hate cutting grass. Lordy mercy.
You both.
All right, buddy. I appreciate you, dude, and good luck, and talk to you soon.
All right, man. Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you. Buddy Gross, a fine human being and a I can't describe how y'all don't understand what you just heard. I think for a lot of people, like him breaking down that like, dude, he's a phenom with that kind of stuff, and that is next level. Like, there are so many different levels in fishing, and there are some of these guys that are so unbelievably ahead of the curve, and he's one of those guys. And most guys at that upper echelon level are that way, but dude, he's special. He's special, and he's going to keep on catching them. I promise you, you won't be the last you hear of Buddy Gross. And I'm not just saying chicken mock. Like, dude, he's going to make noise. He's going to make noise. And I'm really, really proud that he gave us some time from cutting grass, which that's awesome. I loved everything about that. Got to Bassmaster Open this week. Good luck to those guys out there. You got a lot of guys trying to make the Elite Series. Got a lot of guys putting it on the line. You got guys that left the FLW circuit to go over there. Got a lot of new guys trying to make it. A lot of guys have been trying to make it for a long time. So good luck to everybody out there on the flooded Arkansas River. Looking like it's going to be a tough tournament. But I've been keeping up on social media already with some of the practices that guys are having. And that'll kick off Thursday. Got some names from the MLFLW over there fishing. Jacob Prosnick, Greg Hackney, the real Jason Christie over there fishing that division this week. So a lot of heavy hitters. Ding, there you go. Heavy hitters, got it in there for you. A lot of big names in this thing. Scott Martin and Todd Castledines and Bradley Hallmans, Andrew Upshaw, Brian Latimers. A lot of names, and I think this one's going to be interesting. I looked at the roster, and it's going to be a tough event. Competition wise and field of play wise. So good luck to everybody with that. And hopefully we can have the winner on next week. Be fun. I was going to get Jordan Lee on, and Jordan hates cell phones worse than I hate cutting grass. So that is a 1000% fact right here. So hopefully we'll get up with Joe Lee here pretty soon. But thank y'all so much for listening. We got Boats and Pros this week. Going to drop that on Thursday with Carl Jockerson. Might even do a premiere. Watch it with you guys. But I really, really, really appreciate everything, guys, and y'all watching. Be sure to hug your daddy this week. Always hug your mama. Going to take you out with my song, Biloxi Blues, here on Low Budget Live. And thank y'all. Just thank y'all for listening. Make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you are subscribed. There'll be a link at the end of this. I'll do a cute little, hey, click right here. But watch the past episodes. Hey, I put a fly fishing video up too, by the way. Me and my kid, Weston, my boy, and nobody liked it. It got like 400 views. Go watch that video. It was fun. It's funny. It's fun. Go watch that video. It's the last video. But thank y'all so much. I really appreciate y'all, and I will see you next week.
I never could make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts, well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west, north, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, yeah. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.